welcome back to another bonus episode where we are reviewing Star Trek Generations.
You did it wrong.
I know I did it wrong. Do it right.
You got to be like generations.
Hey, I'm Brian.
This is Captain Johnny Potter with the Starship Enterprise B and a half.
The B and a half.
Is that there was that moment when Cameron was in Egypt's land.
When Cameron was in Enterprise land. Oh, I wrecked it on the first day out.
Let my Klingon go.
All right. So as you can see, we're a bit punch drunk. We should be really, we should do a podcast just drunk one of these days.
I get hostile and then I fall asleep.
That would be hilarious. We'll bring someone.
Something would get broke.
We'll have a guest come in for you to get hostile at.
Oh, okay. Donald Trump.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. Hey, guys. As you know.
Who could I get hostile at?
I don't know. I can think of lots of people you can
get hostile at. I've got a list. So. Yeah.
All right. So in honor of 50 years of Star Trek, we are reviewing the 12 current movies. We'll review Beyond as well when it comes out. But each month we're going to talk about...
In just a few weeks.
I know, just a few weeks. I'm kind of excited. We're going to talk about Star Trek Generations, which was the last of the original series movies and first of the Next Generation movies, all mashed up together.
Or as I like to call it, an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yeah, it kind of really was. Yeah,
it really feels like it.
90-minute episode. Sorry, 118-minute episode.
Yeah.
It was long.
Yeah, but it was longer than it needed to be.
That movie
came out the same year that the season finale aired of Star Trek The Next Generation.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not realize that.
Yeah, there was no gap. Like, they were filming Generations, like, right after the show ended.
Okay.
So.
So, Generations, directed by David Carson, produced by Rick Beeman. Screenplay Berman. By Ronald Berman. D. Moore and screenplay by Ronald D. Moore and Brandon Braga. Anyway,
you really getting on this like radio voice thing.
I was just messing around. So it had a budget of $35 million. It made $118 million.
Understandably, it's a Star Trek movie.
It's not a bad one.
Yeah,
like for me, it is above the middle of the pack.
It might be in the middle.
Like it's at the top.
I forget
top
what the list
the
was I sent you, yeah, but you
I
know.
Deleted it.
Yeah.
By accident. Anyway,
you know.
I think I did. I'm pretty sure I did. Anyway, no, it's at the top of the middle of the pack for me. You know, I remember when this came out, I had a real hard time taking it seriously. For the same reason I had a hard time taking Speed seriously, is because Alan Ruck.
Oh yeah,
as he's a Cameron Fry.
Well,
he is Cameron Fry. Like I pictured him in dry dock, right?
Yeah,
sitting at the helms panel, just him by himself on the ship, and like they're calling him to bring the ship out, and he's like, "They'll keep calling me, they'll keep calling me, they'll make me come over. I'll go."
You know? So eventually, he gets mad at the ship and kicks it,
and it falls into a black hole.
The Nexus.
But no, I mean, and it was so funny because his captain was so like the anti-Kirk, right?
Oh yeah,
like, he was indecisive. Dude, he was a wuss. All he craved was the press.
This was like the Starfleet like admiral's son, who, come on, he's been a commander for 10 years. Could you just give him a ship?
He was a lieutenant commander.
Oh, there you go, even worse.
He was a lieutenant commander, and
it's an Enterprise. They won't destroy this one. He's gonna be flying it.
Yeah.
Come on,
they have a Sulu at the helm.
If there's a Sulu at the helm, it'll be fine.
Walter Koenig's there with way too much makeup on.
There was my problem. Why wasn't Chekhov the captain of this ship?
Why was Chekhov wearing so much goddamn makeup?
Because he got old.
Yeah, he looked ridiculous. Yeah, uh-huh. Like, that took me out of it, too. But you're right. Why was he not? I'll tell you why. Because he can't say V.
Yeah? Well,
Wichter.
That's very, very sad.
Yes.
Very, very sad.
Show me where the nuclear vessels is.
Excuse me. Can you tell me where the nuclear vessels are?
The what?
The nuclear vessels.
The what? Anyway.
Wichter.
See?
Man, it just makes me miss Anton.
Yeah, well.
Anton Yelchin even more now. RIP, buddy. He was the superior Chekhov.
They understood Chekhov.
He did more in two movies with Chekhov than Walter Koenig did in 50
years.
Well,
yeah. Anyway. No, Chekhov was comedic relief on that show, on the original. I mean, if you watch a lot of the stuff, he's there hamming it up.
He's the one red shirt that's allowed to survive.
Right. But they will just put a gold shirt on him. He'll be fine.
Yeah. But anywho. No, this movie's interesting. It starts off with like a bit of fun with the Enterprise B.
Yeah.
After everything that happened at Undiscovered Country.
Yeah. They retired Enterprise A.
Right. Which they didn't destroy it.
Yeah.
Per se.
You know, yeah. Bits and pieces.
But yeah, this one in this one doesn't get destroyed.
Not in this
one. It gets a big gaping hole in it.
All right. That's all Jim Kirk's fault, because Jim Kirk comes on a ship and people start dying.
Like, honestly, would you get on a ship with him on it?
No.
Like, I'd take my chances with Archer before I'd take my chances with Kirk.
Archer might kill you himself.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. So... You know, and you know, Picard will just be like, I'm only interested in
to
these
be
eight.
Or not to be.
I'm only interested in these eight people. I don't care about the rest of my crew.
There's 1,000 people on this ship. I only know these eight.
It seems like we don't have a budget for
Data has a creatures. Cat. I know that much.
So. And the cat was in the movie.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
But I will say this, Malcolm McDowell, I love that guy.
He plays a good villain.
He was so good as the bad guy.
Yeah.
As, Tolan Soren.
Tolian,
thank you.
Dr. Sauron.
He was best friends with Whoopi Goldberg, apparently, in this movie. Guinan, who was in the Nexus, apparently. Like,
and still was in the Nexus?
Yeah, well, that was like the echo.
There's a lot of like story that they did not use with her.
Yeah.
Like, they could have gave an explanation of how Picard met her, because that's supposed to be like one of the greatest mysteries in Star Trek history.
And did they do it or not?
I
mean, he's Picard. He's captain of the Enterprise. Yeah. Of course. And she's an alien.
When they met, he was captain of the Stargazer.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, if you're a Starfleet captain and you meet an alien female, you do it. That's just how Star Trek works, you know?
I guess.
So.
What the hell did Gene Roddenberry teach you?
To be open and loving to all mankind.
Oh. We come in peace. Take your clothes off.
But, I was telling you when you came over today that with this one, I felt like the production value of this was really high. It did not have as good a special effects as First Contact.
Well, right.
But
a lot of the sets is what you're talking about.
Yeah, but just filming, the way they filmed it, like it was just done very well. And you know, at the only time where it's like, oh, that's a model, is when the saucer section was crashing into the
When it comes down through the atmosphere and it looks like...
It's like, I remember
did
building...
Did they take this out of a 1950s movie?
I remember building that. So...
The jungle. I remember building that jungle.
But, no, so...
What I can say is, Deanna Troi, don't let her drive a starship.
No.
Because she wrecked two of them.
Yeah, she needs to have her starship license revoked.
But, well, it's that whole thing where she got the lieutenant commander rank.
Yeah.
And, like, she had learned how to do stuff that, like, she didn't as a counselor.
Oh, okay.
Because as a counselor, I don't think she had, like, a rank.
She was just there as eye candy.
Like a chief.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she went through the test and all that like on the ship. So, like, she learned stuff.
Yeah.
And then it's like, Deanna, take the helm. Like, Riker's like, Deanna, take the helm, baby.
I think he just wanted to enjoy that view from behind, you know? He's like... Hey, baby.
But, I mean, the villains besides Soren in this were, like, C-level Star Trek villains.
Well, it was like this...
Lursa and Bator.
Those, the Klingon sisters.
The Duras sisters.
Yeah. They're, I remember... So, I watched this... We're recording this on a Thursday, and I watched it on a Wednesday night. And I remember when they came on, I was like, oh, I forgot about these two. They're so dumb. Like...
Where it's just a lot of continuity mishaps with them, because they appeared in the last season,
mm-hmm.
and one of them was pregnant, Yeah. And then they show up in this, and it's like, well, how long is going on between the show and this? Did she have that baby? They don't mention it.
It's like a week.
It was just, I think it was one of those things.
Do Klingons have just one baby? I imagine they have like litters.
It was like, just pick a name out of a hat. Which villain from Star Trek The Next Generation is going to be the villain of this movie?
Now, here's the thing. How was Q not in this movie? Like, doesn't that make sense to be the logical villain? Because
Malcolm McDowell ate up everything that Q would have ate up.
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, like, I love Malcolm McDowell in this. But, like, you take him out of this movie, right?
Yeah.
And you put Q in this movie instead.
Yeah.
Like.
That's the way that Kirk and Picard. Well, it would be one of those things where it would be the meeting of the crews.
Yeah. Like, I would have liked to have seen more interaction.
Now, see, like, you. So. And the thing is, because comic books don't have a budget.
Right.
And
you know, see this happen, yeah.
Yeah, the Q shows up in the Kelvin timeline.
Yeah.
Now that we know what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Shows up in the Kelvin timeline and takes Kirk's ship to the future, where the Enterprise wouldn't have existed.
The future.
And so they use Deep Space Nine in that story.
Okay.
But it was weird.
With Sisko,
there is a book that I will actually recommend, a Star Trek novel, which they are not in continuity, that would have made an awesome movie with Q. And it was called Q Squared.
Yeah.
It was written by Peter David.
Yep.
Yeah. And that thing is like three different timelines, people that are heroes mm-hmm. or villains, and vice versa. And it was just one of those ones where you're reading it and you're like, this would make like the greatest Next Generation movie ever.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously First Contact was the greatest Next Generation movie ever, but, you know.
Agreed.
But cool visuals. I liked that they got outside.
Yeah.
You know, even though it was only, they could only afford to take Patrick Stewart, William Shatner, and his ego out to the mountains. Malcolm McDowell had to come in a separate vehicle.
Yeah. Well, and, like, Malcolm McDowell, like, his set, too, was just, like, two walkways and, like, a platform.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, it's like, well, who put that there?
It's like, hey, how did that get there? That?
Like, because, you know, it was pretty shoddy construction. You imagine that he
probably came there already, had already been
there
once?
See, that's what I, like, so my thought was, like, he knew that, because he's, at this point, he's, like, 300 years old,
It's right? 80 years between.
80, sorry.
Yeah, well, 80 years between. The first time he tried to get in the Nexus on...
he was in the Nexus and they got pulled out.
They pulled him out. And then, you know, when he's blows up the Amargosa station.
So my thought is that he...
He planned it all out.
He planned it out. Yeah. And like, he's like, okay, this is when this thing's going to come. So I need to go and build these two walkways.
Right.
And I have to put cloaking technology on my missile.
Yeah. Because you know... Why? You know that somebody's going to show up to stop me. Because the planet next door, it's got a population on it.
How hard was it to just get a shuttlecraft?
Oh, yeah.
In you know,
I mean, Star Trek-y obviously you could have rented out some vehicle.
Like, you have to work with Klingons?
Why didn't he just, like, subdue all the Klingons? Because he obviously was smart enough that he could have done that. And just flown the bird of prey, like, right near it.
Yeah, he had that cool little gun that he had to hold sideways.
Yeah, that thing was weird. Made a weird noise, too.
No.
I don't know. This movie's got like one of those things where you could just like totally drive a
all the plot holes.
You could drive a starship through some of the plot holes.
Did you
holes
really
in
just
it.
Say you could drive a starship through some of the plot holes?
Yes, you
holes.
Could.
All right, so I quit now.
Awesome. Welcome to the Johnny Podcast. It's all Star Trek
dirty.
All the time. Oh,
So are you going to just continue to come over here and force me to record these for you?
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm just not allowed to talk anymore.
I'm thinking that CBS might be sending us a cease and desist.
Yeah.
You are not an official Star Trek podcast.
So.
You only have 15 minutes to talk about Star Trek.
We have 25 more seconds to go.
We're screwed.
We're going to have to pay licensing fees. All right.
Whoopi was good in this movie.
Whoopi was good in this.
Because it gave her a little bit more story.
Yet she was uncredited.
Yeah.
Like, I'm throwing my shoulders in the air. I mean, it's like, what is up with that?
Because Whoopi was a fan of Star Trek and that, and, you know, inspired by Star Trek. And she had asked to be on the show. So yeah. It was like, you know, I guess just...
I always liked Guinan.
Yeah.
Like, so I see this, and I remember when Whoopi Goldberg was a funny comedian,
mm-hmm.
and like...
Jumpin' Jack Flash?
Yeah. She yeah. did interesting movies, mm-hmm. and then you look at her now, and it's like, really? You're the same person? Like, go back to being cool.
I think that Patrick Stewart might have sucked all her funny out, because if you've watched him and stuff, he didn't have
any funny hilarious. When he got there. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's now hilarious, now.
So. Oh. So his funny is like a sexually transmitted disease.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a movie right yeah, there. There you where go. The funny just keeps getting.
Patrick Stewart will do that movie too. As long as you bring me a bottle of Strongbow.
Terry Strongbow.
Yes. Ugh. Patrick, you're fired.
Damn it. Engagement.
I'll have you know.
Sir Ian McKellen will come and he will save me.
I want to see those two in a movie together.
You know, I almost don't because their real life adventures are too much fun.
Well, that's true.
But, all right. So Data in this one gets the or the emotion chip.
Make it so.
And he's got the tricorder. And it's Mr. Tricorder.
Mr. Tricorder.
And he's doing the Captain Picard imitation, no, right?
That's not the worst thing. The worst thing is when he does the life forms.
Yeah. So,
you funny little life forms.
So this one was...
I love you.
Yeah. So the Data stuff in this was not good.
Mm-hmm.
The Worf stuff in this was not good.
Where was Worf stuff in this?
Well, when he got his promotion.
Oh, that?
And they tried to keelhaul him.
Yeah.
And then Riker in jealous well, and then Riker Data pushing form. And then he...
Dr. Crusher yeah. over. Because it's going to be funny.
But I will say one thing. When... they put the camera and when the Klingons put the
oh yeah,
in
yeah.
Jordy's thing and you know Gates McFadden is there looking all
he must
like,
be the only engineer that does not go to engineering.
Well, I liked because Gates McFadden's like looking at him, she's all hot and mm-hmm. everything, and the Klingon women are like, ugh, I forgot how ugly human females are. Uh-huh. I was like that's hilarious.
The one thing I complain about is that they killed Picard's brother and nephew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a that shuttlecraft was, accident.
No, the house caught on fire.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's literally the house caught on fire, and because his brother was kind of a traditionalist, there was no fire suppression systems.
Oh.
Yeah, so they burnt, but his sister-in-law survived.
Did his brother live in France and have an English accent as well?
Yeah. Didn't you ever see that episode?
No, I did. I'm yeah. just making fun. Yeah, you're right about the plot holes of this. I don't think they used the overall cast very well. Like Jonathan Frakes had nothing to do in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Except for Crash the Saucer section.
Captain, are you okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, literally. Are you sure you're okay, Captain?
So, that's the other thing. It's yeah. like, Picard was a little bitch.
Well, it was the whole thing where it's like kill his brother and then make him like emotionally unhinged.
Yeah.
And it's like, why did you do that?
Why are you being a little bitch?
Yeah.
You it's know?
Like, dude, you saved the universe more times than I can count.
You were a Borg.
Yes. And you came back from it. Excuse me.
You go toe-to-toe with a guy that can change reality.
Yeah, in a snap.
You know? Yeah. And your brother and nephew, who you don't really see... die.
It's the whole thing where you know. They became close in the last few years and what?
And
you I've know. Never thought about having children, so the Picard line will die with me.
Good.
Yeah, well,
let it well, what no, happens? Because Tom Hardy came along to revive uh-huh. the Picard line. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Anyway, no, I just, you know, this was very much a William Shatner, you know, last hurrah.
Well, yeah, it was the
and you know what though?
Publicity
I
thing.
Understand now why J.J. Abrams yeah. did not put him in
right, yeah.
the Kelvinverse movies.
Right.
Man, did he overact. He was so freaking cheesy. Yeah, yeah. He says, call me Jim. There's no one around him when he says yeah. that. Picard is gone at that point.
Yeah.
You know.
Pass me the dill.
Yeah, just the, this horse has never made that jump.
This is my uncle's farm in Idaho or wherever.
I grew up. On this farm.
It's like, let's mention a woman that we've never even heard of.
Never.
When they could have just said Carol Marcus.
Yeah, I loved her. Who? Who cares?
Yeah.
You know?
We don't even know who she is, so yeah. we don't care.
Her name was like Esperanza or
Butler,
something.
Butler! My dog! What? You had a dog? No. Why wasn't that dog on the starship with
Archer
you?
Archer had the dog.
Well, right. He had a Great Dane.
You've been dead for 80 years, buddy. Yeah. You didn't have a dog.
I just, you know, it's one of those things where they threw things in where it's like trying to make Kirk more personable. And it's like, you could just make Kirk personal by using the stuff that was done in the past series and acknowledged it and that, that he was...
Oh, yeah.
I think it would have been cooler if they would have had it where he was fighting some alien on another planet when Picard showed up. Like, what are you doing here?
And
what's
he does
going
the
on?
Double axe handle thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, now, okay. You look at this, right?
Yeah.
Written Ronald D. Moore.
Yeah.
You look at the last episode of Battlestar Galactica. Written Ronald D. Moore.
Yeah.
Like, it's like... It's not the same story,
right.
But like it's got the same issues where it just doesn't make a lot of sense
because of the mysticism
of,
and the
weirdness. So, you know, the ribbon thing.
Would the last episode of Battlestar Galactica have been helped by William Shatner being a guest star?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, what wouldn't be like we would be helped by having William Shatner as a guest star. So, Johnny,
you
how much?
You want William Shatner on the show when I'm drunk?
I've got 20. Yes. Did my eyes just light up as big as I thought they did?
Yes, they did.
I have $22 in my wallet.
That ain't bringing William Shatner on the show.
So, I can get
you have $522?
I can probably get that.
He might come up.
For $522? So, for 4 minutes on Skype?
Yeah, you know. We just go down to one of his farms in Kentucky. He's there half the year.
Let's go.
So,
William Shatner, we're coming.
And I mean that's the fun stuff about this movie is that, you know, Shatner is a horse enthusiast, so we actually got to see that, which I think that would have been a cool thing that if they would have thrown that into Kirk's history.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if that would have been a storyline, because Picard had that on Next Generation that he was a horse enthusiast, but to have Kirk have a hobby would have been interesting. Besides banging every alien from here to Cestus 3.
His hobby was fending off alien VD. But
I was riding something, but it wasn't horses. Yeah.
But, like, you know, they talked about, too, like, this was the big crossover movie, right?
Yeah.
It was Scotty, Chekhov, and Kirk.
It was whoever wasn't working at the time.
DeForest Kelly was still alive at this point.
Well, see, that would have been a continuity error, though, because McCoy showed up.
Right. I forgot about
that. Yeah.
Yeah. But
they could have used
him. He could have been.
Yeah.
Like he could have been in the 80-year prior scene,
right.
You know, because he could have been like, damn it, Jim, you're an old man. You're not a captain anymore.
Right.
You know?
Well, yeah. If you listen to the lines that Scotty and Chekhov, it's Spock and McCoy's lines. Yeah. Just changed a little bit.
Yeah, like what was Leonard Nimoy doing that was so important?
Not Star Trek.
Yeah, so.
You know.
Being a baby.
I mean, at that point.
R.I.P., but being a baby.
I think it was just kind of they were done at that point. So, and I know that they tried to get them. They did try to get them.
I mean, it was a nice passing of the torch.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to lie, but like, just so, like, of as big as this cast was.
Yeah.
So many of them were underutilized.
Oh,
and like when you look back at it, like even so, okay, the Klingons use Geordi to get the shield modulation.
Why would this be right out on a board?
And I'm sorry, but like the first time that thing goes through, it's like, done. It's different now.
Change our shield modulation, guys. Come on, let's go. So,
like these are professional spacefaring people.
Yeah.
Right.
And these writers had been writing the show.
I know.
And it's like, what? Just do this movie, because if we do this movie and it makes money, you Next Generation guys get your own movie.
You get your own franchise.
Yeah. And guess what it's going to be? We're going to do the Borg.
The Borg.
Yes.
With time travel.
Because
guess what? This one has time travel, too.
Everything has time travel.
Like, it should honestly be called... Like, do you remember the old TV show Time Tracks?
Yes.
Like, it's unfortunate that they didn't call this Star Time Tracks.
You know.
But,
I'm sure there's a Riff Tracks on this Star Tracks.
Yeah, there's... Especially on this one.
Oh, yeah.
But, no...
Just call me Jim.
This one is fun, though. Like...
It's a fun movie that you don't have to think about, but when you start thinking about it, you're like, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
I agree. And that being said, it's one that you need to watch maybe once every 10 years.
Oh, yeah. Or just
and,
once.
And to be 100% honest, had we not been talking about this stuff...
You hadn't watched
it. I wasn't going to watch it. Yeah. So, but...
I hadn't watched it in probably at least 3 years. Yeah. And then I watched it a couple weeks ago, and then I watched it again yesterday, and I'm just like...
So, I wasn't looking forward to rewatching Nemesis.
Yeah.
I wasn't looking forward to rewatching this. Okay. I really don't want to watch number 5.
Final Frontier?
Yeah. I really don't want to watch The Search for Spock.
Really?
And I really don't want to watch Star Trek The Motion Picture.
You're going to... I tell you, you're gonna be going to be watching that in pieces. You're going to watch that in pieces, though, because I know you're going to fall asleep.
Well, I'll probably try and watch it during the day.
It's going to be cold. It's going to be wintertime. When we get to that one.
Are you saying that I fall asleep during things easily?
Well, yeah. Which... I don't know. I mean, the motion picture, yeah, it's major. 1 year dread. It's
major.
Yeah.
Anyway. No, you know, I think the other big problem with this was the scale, right? It was this big galaxy spanning like ribbon that was destroying shit.
Right, yeah.
And it was one guy doing it.
Right.
Like there had to have been like where like, was his Nexus support group?
If it would if it would have been like 49 people.
Yeah.
A cult of, like, Sorin was leading a cult.
Right. And makes more sense.
You would have left the Klingons out, and it would have been... But then, you know, what this would have ended up being, if it would have been a cult of the Nexus, it would have been Star Trek V. It would have been Cybok finding God.
So, but instead of that, right? Yeah. Like, it's not a cult. It's a support group, right? These people who, they just want to get back,
right?
Quote, unquote, I'm using air quotes here, people, home.
Yeah.
Right. They just want to go back to this place where they were
place they've
they
ever
were
been.
Comfortable and they were warm and they were happier than Sorin, they'd ever been. Sorin,
obviously, his wife and kids were alive in the Nexus for him. And
they were dead. You
know. The thing that would have been cool in the Nexus is if, like, they run into Guinan, like Picard runs into Guinan in the Nexus. If the Sorin that was in the Nexus would have realized.
Yeah, what was happening.
What was happening and tried to stop them in the Nexus.
So,
but then, you know, we're writing a bigger story.
But here's the thing, though, is there's room for that story.
Right.
If you take out all the other crap that was just the set dressing that doesn't need to be there.
The Amargarth Star Station, the Klingons.
Riker.
You know.
The entire Enterprise crew destroying another Enterprise. Yeah. Like, Enterprise D did not need to be destroyed.
No.
And, like, they talked about how, like, little damage that bird of prey could do to their ship.
Right.
And you look at they shot one photon torpedo in that entire thing.
Hit the engineering section.
And they blew up that ship.
Yeah. Just hit the engineering section. Coolant leak! We've got a coolant leak! You know what? I think that LeVar Burton...
He's a pretty bad engineer.
Got tired of saying that. I mean... I could just see that being, you know what? I hosted Reading Rainbow.
Yeah.
I was in Roots. And now what you have me saying is, coolant leak! We got a coolant leak!
I'm an icon, damn it.
He was an icon before Star Trek. I mean, you know. He was, of all the cast,
I'll be honest,
he was truly
the
icon.
Part of the reason I watched.
Because of Reading Rainbow and Roots.
More Reading Rainbow than Roots, because I don't think I saw Roots before I saw Star Trek Next Generation.
A long time ago.
I mean, I've seen Roots since then.
Right.
But it's touching and heartbreaking and awesome. But anyway, it's the whole thing. Like, he's a horrible engineer. But here's the other thing, right? In the 80 years between, like, Star Trek and the Next Generation, the technology to make a warp core has gotten so good that it's just one room, right?
Yeah, well, yeah.
And, like, and I understand. That was the TV set.
Right. But you know, the thing about it was is... Because they didn't do a lot of the techno babble, they did. They could have ejected that core.
Yeah.
And they didn't.
No.
I would have ejected and named it right at the Klingon Bird of Prey. Which, the explosion of the Klingon Bird of Prey
is the
explosion
from
Star Trek VI.
Yeah.
The multiple times they show the Enterprise are stuff from the episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the technical... They didn't spend a lot of money on this for, you know, like, stuff with the special effects.
Yeah, what did I say? It was a... $35 million budget?
Yeah.
That was all William Shatner there.
It had to have been.
So, William Shatner was $33 million and $2 million was the rest of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was the one thing that I'm like, you know, you pull people out of a movie by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like I said, it's not a bad movie, but it's not the best of the bunch.
No.
Not by far.
But yeah, I'm glad to be past this one.
Okay.
To be honest, you know, yeah.
We have The Undiscovered Country next.
Which I watched that one not too long ago just to watch. Like, you know,
yeah.
Even though it was like way out of order for what we're doing.
Sure,
I was like,
yeah.
I'm watching this one because I like this one.
All right, so. Yeah.
But all right. Well, on that note, anything else? Any last words?
No. I think that was pretty much it.
Yeah, cool. All right, guys. We are the Infamous Podcast. And yeah, if you haven't listened to our last episode, we talk about Tron. As we close out our month of Disney sci-fi movies.
Yes.
So take a chance, go back and listen, or take a chance, take a minute. Don't take a chance. It's not a chance. It's awesome. We talk.
Hopefully
good.
You've taken a chance by now and yeah. You've just been listening.
Anywho, go back and listen to our just kind of recaps of some of the cooler Disney sci-fi movies over the past.
Go back and listen,
you know,
to the previous Star Trek
50
reviews.
Years. There's a bunch of Star Trek reviews. It's on our website.
Are we halfway,
you can go under reviews.
Halfway through now?
This is six.
This is seven.
Seven. Yeah, we are.
So yeah, we're halfway.
We're more
through.
Than halfway.
We're halfway through the year already.
I know.
God.
So yeah, we just had our 50th episode. We have.
So yeah,
our,
stay tuned. For
we have our big year anniversary relaunch.
July.
Where we're
going
to go back to number one numbering.
Oh, my God.
I'm so doing that. I'm
so going to hit you with a computer. So next will be Star Trek The Undiscovered Country, mm-hmm. and somewhere in there will be Star Trek Beyond.
And we'll do Star Trek Beyond on its own.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it'll be a review, but it'll be a hardcore review.
Yeah, it'll be a good one, not these slapdash. Like,
we get to know. See another Enterprise get destroyed.
Woo-hoo! It's been a while since I've seen an Enterprise destroyed. It was just last night.
I was going to say, I grab you a model kit and break it for you. How about that?
I will say this. It was cool to see the saucer section split, and I had the die-cast metal Enterprise.
Yeah.
And I almost never had the saucer section on that thing because I thought it looked so much cooler with just that
the
tiny
snakehead.
Little snakehead. Yeah.
So. That's what it looked like to me. It was a snakehead.
Yep.
So.
No, it's a cobra.
Nice.
Anywho, all right, guys. You can find us at infamouspodcast.com. We're on social media: Twitter, Facebook, Instagram are the ones we focus on most.
Mm-hmm.
At Infamous Podcast, I do believe you're on social media. Where can they find you?
At Johnny Podorf on Instagram and Twitter.
All right, and I'm at Brian Tudor on pretty much everything. So follow along, and if you have a minute, head over to iTunes, Stitcher, or the Google Play Store and drop us a 5-star review.
Yes, please.
That would be great. Help us move up,
make
get sponsors, and do cool stuff. And on that note,
have a good one.
Later.